For our scripture reading, we'll go to Romans chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. For if by the one man's offense death reigned throughout the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous.
Good morning. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Daniel Nichols, as the bulletin says. I'm a normal member at the Glide Church. I was asked to fill in at the last minute this week, so pray that the Lord will bless. I've been thinking a lot about the subject that's listed, heredity, something that we all have to deal with at some point and in some way. We all get the blessing of inheriting various things from our parents. Myself, I inherited bad vision. I have contact lenses in. I got to inherit seasonal allergies from my mother. I got to inherit a reasonably sound intellect. I did well in school. Both of my parents were very smart people. So I inherited that from them. I'm thankful for that. There's other things that I inherited. I inherited from my father a propensity toward addiction. I inherited an immune system that just goes bonkers at the craziest times. I inherited an allergy, digestive disorder. But all of these things are things that we can deal with. These are things that the Lord has shown us ways to either overcome or to mitigate the effects of these inherited physical abnormalities, because originally we were all made perfect. That was the plan. So we have no choice when it comes to heredity. We have no choice when it comes to what we inherited from Adam. Romans 5, the passage we just read, states what that was. We inherited sin, and with sin, death, from our original parents. And that's a heredity that we had no choice in. But we have a way out. We have an escape. So let's look what the scripture has to say about that escape. If you'd like to, go ahead and bow your heads as we pray to begin. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to open your word. Thank you for this space and time that you have set aside every week. We ask a Sabbath day's blessing. I personally ask for your presence, that your words would be what are heard and not mine. And I ask also for the presence of your Holy Spirit to give understanding and to make your truth transformative and not just informative. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So in his teaching, Christ was always using the physical or the natural to illustrate the spiritual. We see this in his use of parables. But not only that, we see it in his very life. The union between divinity and humanity and what that looks like was illustrated in Christ's very life. The fact that God was made flesh. That union between divinity and humanity that he desires for us all, that the Lord would, through the Holy Spirit, dwell in us and be with us continually through our life. We see that illustrated in his life. There's also something that we can get out of his ministry of healing that illustrates spiritual realities. In at least one instance, Christ made that connection himself between physical healing and pardon of sins or salvation. In Mark chapter 2, I remember hearing this story when I was very, very young. And for me then, it was Sunday school. I was not always an Adventist. But we heard the story of the man whose four friends lowered him through the roof of Peter's house. One of the instances that that's mentioned in the Gospels is in Mark chapter 2. And we'll go ahead and start in verse 3. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. He was carried by his four friends. And when they could not come near to him for the crowd around the house, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon laid the person who was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. Then Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the man who was paralyzed, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes and Pharisees there, and reasoned in their hearts. They said, Why does this man commit blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? And as we know, this is one of the Bible definitions of blasphemy, is the claimed forgiveness of sins. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason you these things in your hearts? What is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise, take up thy bed and walk? But, and here's the connection, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man sick of palsy, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. He made that connection between the physical healing and the forgiveness of sins, the pardon, or we would also call it salvation. He made that connection himself. So that you know that I have the power to forgive sins, the power to cleanse and heal a soul. This is my power to cleanse and heal a body, a person. We're told that his physical healing was to instill faith in his ability to heal the soul. But there's more than just that. In the very language of the Bible itself, we can find the connection between spiritual healing and physical healing. If you turn with me back to Romans and look in chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 9. Very simple statement. One that, as Adventists, it may be possible we like to kind of gloss over because it's one that's commonly used in other denominations' theology. But it's one we can't ignore. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Very simple statement. Now, there'd be an entire sermon to go along with that. I'm not going to get into the theology behind it. I want to look at that word saved. It's a word that we don't often use to describe salvation, at least not amongst the people that I commonly fellowship with. But that word saved, as we know, was originally written by Paul in Greek. And that word, we would pronounce it sozo, saved. You look it up in a lexicon or a dictionary, a Greek dictionary, you'd see that that word means to save, that is, to deliver or protect, to heal, preserve, save, do well, or to be or make whole. The word is translated almost as often in the New Testament saved as it is make whole. We see an example of this in Matthew 9, verses 20 and 22. The woman who had the issue of blood, she was pronounced unclean by the priests, was shunned by society, and was in all ways looked upon as an outcast. But she had heard the reports of Christ, probably from people who had been healed by him themselves. She might have even witnessed healings herself. She determined that if she could just come and touch the hem of his garment, she would be, the Bible says, made whole, physically healed. And she was. So in Matthew 10, beginning in verse 20, Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And that's that same word as saved. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole, or saved you. So she was saved by faith. She was made whole. She was healed by faith. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment, believing that he could bring healing. And it was done. It's also used by the gospel writers the same way as it's used by Paul. In Luke chapter 7, verse 48, see that same word used. Luke chapter 7 and verse 48. This is, of course, speaking of the woman who came and washed his feet with her tears and anointed him with the expensive ointment. He said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. Reading the desire of her heart that she wanted that assurance of forgiveness, that assurance of salvation. He gave her what she was looking for. He told her, her sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say amongst themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. You notice that phrase again. She was saved. She was made whole. She was forgiven. She was pardoned. She received salvation through her faith. But you notice in both these instances that faith was acted out. The woman who reached out and took the hem of his garment acted her faith out. She reached out for him and did something based upon her faith, as did this woman. In an expression of the appreciation of salvation, she also did something. She washed his feet with her tears. She gave all that she had to buy that ointment and anoint his head. And yet, in both instances, he tells both of these women that their faith has either saved them or physically healed them. So this connection between physical healing and spiritual healing is quite clear when you look at the language of Scripture. So, what does that mean for us? We know that Jesus came to set us free from our inheritance of sin. We know this because Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Again, that's the same word, save, to make whole, to protect, to deliver, to pardon, to, you could fill in the blank, he shall save his people from their sins. And he demonstrated his ability to do this by healing our physical maladies, in addition to our wounded consciences, our degraded passions. You could fill in the blank, go down the list, all of the multitude of things that we need him for in our daily life. So that leaves us now with the question, how does that work? I can't give you the mechanisms. I can tell you the plan of salvation. I can tell you what to do to go about living a healthy life if you're looking for physical healing. How that works, we've seen time and time again that it's by faith, but that faith was acted out. It never ends at faith. That faith was acted out. You read it in Hebrews 11. You can call it the Faith Hall of Fame. They were all acting upon their faith. Noah didn't just believe that there was going to be a flood. He built an ark. Abraham didn't just believe that the Lord was going to give him the land of Canaan for an inheritance and make of him a mighty nation. He left his home to go to a place he did not know. You go down that list, you see that faith was acted out in every instance. So, faith must be acted out. What does that look like? So let's use Jesus' method. Let's look at physical healing to illustrate how faith can be acted out for spiritual healing. Because that's something that I struggled with continually. This is why the topic has been on my mind for several weeks now, even for months. What does that look like? How do you act out that faith, that saving faith, to where you come to a point where you have that assurance? Jesus can bring you that assurance that your faith has made you whole. Because it's one thing to know it, and it's one thing to understand it, but without having the application in my life, without having the how-to, to me, it seems like it's just Christian cliches. It's an intellectual faith, and it isn't practical, and it isn't transformative or changing in my life whatsoever. So how does it work? How to? John chapter 9. As always, I find the answer in Scripture. I'm going to look at a case of physical healing that I believe demonstrates quite clearly and plainly the spiritual healing and how it works and how to obtain it. John chapter 9. I'll let the Bible speak for itself. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing." So what happened first? In this particular instance, Jesus came to this man. He sought him out, as many times he seeks us out. In other instances, we see that somebody sought Jesus. Either way, what happened was there was a connection made there. Christ anointed this man's eyes. He touched him, as the wonderful song says, "He touched me and made me whole." There was a connection that was made first, but then what happened? Christ gave him something to do. He gave him instructions, and this man followed them. He obeyed them. There was a set of instructions, and his were very simple. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So he did it, and he received his sight. So was that by faith, or was that because of his actions? Well, his actions demonstrated his faith in the one who brought the healing. So let's look now at our own lives. Again, we're looking at physical healing as an illustration. The Lord has given us special instructions how to bring about physical healing in either ourselves or in other people. I've gotten to experience some of these, you could call them natural remedies, this special instruction in regard to physical healing. Like I mentioned, I had seasonal allergies. Well, through the simple natural remedies that the Lord has given us, my seasonal allergies are almost completely gone. Praise the Lord. My digestive disorder that I inherited. Stop eating what makes you sick, and you won't be sick anymore. It's very simple. The Lord's given us special instruction in regards to that. And praise the Lord, I don't eat what makes me sick. And guess what? I'm not sick. It's amazing. I don't have that pain first thing when I wake up in the morning that makes me nauseous. It's gone because I don't eat what I know is unhealthy for me. And He's given us, in case we have any question, what is unhealthy? He's given us instruction into what's unhealthy too. Isn't He kind? But would any of this work? Would any of this really bring true healing to my body if I didn't have faith in the one who gave me the special instruction in the first place? Well, to a certain extent, it might. I found out I was allergic to gluten and dairy. My body doesn't process them. They make me sick. I found out about that several years before I was a Christian. And before I was a Christian, that digestive disorder was completely gone. So did I have faith then? Well, you could say no. But, to a certain extent, I was acting upon that which I knew, which was very little. So if you don't know much in regards to health and you're acting your best upon it, I believe the Lord will bless it. But He doesn't want us to end there, and He sure didn't leave me there. Praise the Lord. Because if He just left me there, I would have been a healthy sinner. And what good does that do Him? Because we know that His desire is that none should perish. So while He's concerned for my physical well-being, He wants me in heaven. He wants you in heaven. And He wants you to live the healthiest, happiest life you can until you get there. So if we inherited a genetic tendency for heart disease, we know not to eat those things that cause heart disease. Avoid fried foods. Avoid high cholesterol foods like meat and dairy products. And that also goes the same for diabetes if you inherited diabetes. You can go down the list. We know these things to be unhealthy, not just because I say so. And if you don't want to read Spirit of Prophecy books to learn that either, you can go to the world. And scientists over and over again are proving exactly what Sister White wrote almost 100 years ago. So if you don't want to take God's word for it, and you don't want to take God's word for it in the Spirit of Prophecy, even the world is beginning to prove what Seventh-day Adventists have known for 100 years. If you are sick, and you just chalk it up to heredity, and say, well, I was born with it, and I can't... Now, of course, there's exceptions. There are exceptions to every rule. But generally speaking, if you chalk up your disease, whatever it is, to heredity, and you say, I'm stuck with that, and I cannot break past that, I will always have to deal with this problem, this disease, and therefore I'm not going to do anything about it. You cast doubt, not only upon that, but upon the gospel, because the gospel uses the same method of healing. So to use heredity as your excuse why you do not make the changes that we know as Seventh-day Adventists that the Lord has given us to make to bring about physical healing, then you deny just as plainly that spiritual healing is even possible. And we know that spiritual healing is possible. And we see it because physical healing is possible. If you have a tendency, as I do, toward addictive behaviors, I know to avoid alcohol because my father was an alcoholic. But it doesn't end at alcohol because I got addicted to just as many things as he did, in fact more. But I now know to avoid those things because they bring ruin not only to my body but my soul. That's one that's related to both. Let's go on to one that's purely spiritual. Vanity and dress. Something that I could say that I still kind of struggle with, but praise the Lord, He's getting me through that one too. So then I avoid wearing those articles of clothing that bring out that vanity. Those ones that I find myself looking in the mirror when I put it on. Those articles of clothing that I put on and I look in the mirror and I say, yeah, that's going to foster more vanity. That's going to foster more pride. And praise the Lord, He's allowed me to see it. And if He's allowed you to see it too, then do what He says. Don't even take Him to Goodwill because you're going to make somebody else vain too. Burn Him. If you have a propensity, as I do, toward your mind wandering places you'd rather it didn't, if you came out of the world, you have baggage in your mind still that leads you away from God. Immoral, hateful, vengeful thoughts, impure thoughts, whatever it is, dislike of neighbors, people, whatever those things are that are getting between your relationships with people, and especially those things that are getting between your relationships with God, get rid of the television and stop listening to the worldly music, because it's just the same as with the physical. If we're in taking things in, and your eyes and your ears are just as much an avenue to the soul as is your mouth, if we're taking things in that are unhealthy to foster spiritual health, I can promise you, you will not be spiritually healthy. And we know that the things of this world are enmity against God. And those things include music, which was something that was very tough for me to give up. But now that I have, praise the Lord. I can walk into a grocery store and hear a song, and it'll be stuck in my head for a week. Satan designed that music to be that way, so it gets stuck in your head and it draws your mind away from the scripture that you read that morning. But praise the Lord, he's given us heavenly music to replace that with, and it's now much easier to get those songs out of my head. The same thing goes for movies. It's really easy if I drum up a memory of a movie that I saw. Oh, I can go on thinking about that movie for not just several minutes, but several hours and possibly even several days if I just let my mind go wherever it wants. And of course, that's not drawing me any closer to the Lord. So praise the Lord, he's given me the Desire of Ages. Try reading that and meditating on what you read in that. Getting rid of the television and the fictional novels. And I promise the Lord will bless, and you will be able to get those things out of your mind, and they will no longer draw you away from him. So we see that taking things in is what brings the health either down or up. The same as spiritually, taking things in is same as what brings our spirituality, our closeness with the Lord. We can either help that or hurt that, but what we allow into our body, the avenues of the soul, as we've heard them called, what we hear, what we see, can what you touch affect your mind? It can. The things that you allow your hands to do can affect what goes on in your mind, and what goes on in your mind affects your relationship with God. Can what you smell affect your mind? Can it bring back memories? Now, sometimes we don't have much of a choice if you're in a public setting or if you're somewhere the Lord has called you to be, and a smell triggers a memory that you know is not one that's becoming of Christian growth. We have the Lord's assurance. If we're in the way of duty, he will give us way of escape. If we put ourselves on Satan's ground, our only hope is to flee. As I mentioned, Desire of Ages is, like I said, it's probably, if you want to get the worldly memories out, Desire of Ages is the book I would most strongly recommend to do so. Toward the end of the book is a fantastic passage. In the Savior's manner of healing, there were lessons for his disciples. On one occasion, he anointed the eyes of a blind man with clay and bade him go and wash. He went his way and washed and came seeing. The cure could be wrought only by the power of the great healer. So this is the part where we miss the boat when it comes to obedience. The cure could not have been wrought without the power of God. But the cure would not have been wrought without the obedience. Yet Christ made use of the simple agencies of nature. While he did not give countenance to drug medication, he sanctioned the use of simple and natural remedies. To many of the afflicted ones who received healing, Christ said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." Thus he taught that disease is the result of violating God's laws, whether they be natural or spiritual. The great misery that the great misery in the world would not exist did men but live in harmony with the Creator's plan. See, some of those things that we get to inherit that we have no choice over, that are the exceptions to the rule when it comes to the natural remedies. See, some people are born with a brain defect, and there's no amount of vegan diet and hydrotherapy that's going to rebuild that brain and make it what you would call normal. But that's because we live in a world of sin. And that person inherited something, unfortunately, from their parents because of their bad decisions, which are probably because of their parents' bad decisions, which are probably because of their parents' bad decisions. So after 6,000 years worth of sin, here we are. And there's going to be exceptions to the rule. But when I see those exceptions, it only reminds me of the blessing the Lord's given me, in that I don't have to be an exception to that. God can bring about healing. He wants to bring about healing, not just physical healing. In fact, he's really not super concerned with the physical healing. He wants it for us, but only if it'll bring us closer to him, to seek him more, to recognize that the same power that healed my shoulder when I dislocated it and made it, gave me 100% range of motion in less than a quarter of the time than when I did it in high school. See, I was not a vegan. I was had no knowledge of natural remedies. I had no knowledge of anything but what the doctors told me to do. Did physical therapy for years. Dislocated my shoulder again not too long ago. Proper diet, no physical therapy, hydrotherapy, no doctors, less than a quarter of the time, and my shoulder was healed. That same power that can heal my shoulder is the same power that wants to heal my mind and cast down vain imaginations, as Paul says, and bring every thought into captivity of Christ, so that when all is said and done, as the song we just sang says, we, when all is overcome, we will be like Jesus. That's his goal for us. I pray that that is our goal for ourselves. And if we aren't sure how that works, because this is a very short time to be able to explain that, I encourage us to do the searching on our own. Start with the physical. If you have things that have been troubling you physically, and you believe that the only way that they can be taken care of is prescription medication, because that's what the doctors have told you, and we don't really consult spirit of prophecy on those matters, try it. Just give it a try. Poke through Councils on Diets and Foods. See what we're doing that we were commanded not to do, or what we're not doing that we were commanded to do. Give it a try. Just try him. He never has failed me. He never will fail you. Just give him a shot. And when we have learned that lesson, then again, I advise you to look to the Inspired Counsel. Keep in mind that she didn't have television in her day, but there was drama, there was theater, and we were counseled against that. Television, if anything, is much worse. Fictional novels. We can look through the whole list of things that we allow into our mind. Try him with those two. Give it a shot. Don't throw away your TV just yet. Just turn it off. And open Acts of the Apostles. That's another great one. Give it a shot. He won't fail you. You will be drawn closer. You will be drawn to love him more. And without loving him, there's no point in obeying him. You will be drawn to love him more. You will be drawn to see him as your only hope of salvation, to realize your utter dependence upon him. And ultimately, you will be on the sea of glass with the vast multitude for eternity, praising him. No more sin, no more death, no more pain, No more tears, no more sickness, no more disease, no more loved ones making wrong decisions and agonizing in prayer over your son who's gone astray, and agonizing in prayer over your mother who will not listen or hear or have any interest in spiritual matters. Whatever those things are that are troubling us now, they won't be there. And they don't have to be in our life right now, at least the things that we individually have control over. So exercise the faith now. You have the faith. If you don't have the faith, ask Him for the faith. When you get the faith, act upon it. Try Him. I urge you, test the Lord. I know the Bible says not to test the Lord, but you got to look at the situation. I'm not going to test the Lord as far as jumping off of a cliff. But I am going to test the Lord because He told us to test Him when it comes to tithe and offering, didn't He? So I urge you, test the Lord when it comes to health. Test the Lord when it comes to those things that we allow into our mind that draw us away from Him. Test Him. Give Him a shot. He's not going to fail you. And ultimately, like I said, there will be no more pain or death or sin or temptation. Isn't temptation a weary thing? So in all things, as the song we're about to sing says, have thine own way. I used to do pottery. In fact, I'd love to if I still had the time. One thing I noticed, one thing I learned about clay is that I could move it and shape it, and it stayed right there. And I never came back after, you know, the next day, came back and found a pot that I had made shaped differently. Unless I made it poorly, but He doesn't make bad work. I never came and found one shaped differently. I never found a pot that made itself into something else. So if we are to be clay in the potter's hand, the only way we can be clay is to say, have thine own way. And that rhyme was intentional. So I urge you, this is my appeal. Let the Lord work in your life by doing what He tells us to do. Try Him, test Him, see that He is good and faithful. And if He turns out to be right, then praise Him for it. And thank Him for it. And share with other people. Let's go ahead and sing. Father in heaven, we thank You that You care enough about us to give us special instruction on how we can live healthily and happily. And thank You that You care enough about us that You came and showed it that You love us. You didn't just leave it with empty words. You proved Your love for us. So with no doubt of Your love, we recognize, as You have told us in Your word, that You have asked us to do all of these things for our good always, and we trust You and ask for the strength and the guidance to do that which You desire. We thank You again for the Sabbath and ask for Your continued blessing, and thank You also for hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.